right, put your hands together as we start a new message today. Are you glad to be in the house of God? Are you glad that you can be in the house of God? I mean, that is not normal in every place. We have to keep that in mind. And it's amazing how we can experience the benefits and blessings of God to the point that we forget that there are actually benefits and blessings from God. And we begin to make things that are special common, and we forget that there's people out there that can't and don't necessarily celebrate the same freedoms that we have. Some countries, you can't worship God. In fact, I was told, and I balance this with, I have not verified it, but I was told that the one pastor in Iran who's a Christian pastor was just killed 10 days ago. They hung him before being a Christian. So in a world of contradictions, in a world of challenges, in a world of sometimes disappointments and confusion, we have to figure out what enables us, what empowers us, what equips us to stand strong so that we don't give up, so we don't quit, so we don't get frustrated. Because I'll be honest with you, I almost have to stop watching news recently. I get so frustrated when I watch the news. I almost lose my joy. I have to go back and spend more time in prayer reading the Word just to get myself built back up. Thinking, oh my goodness, what is happening to the world? What is all this going on and all this craziness and all the hatred and all the stuff that's flying around? And if we're not careful, we'll allow the things around us to affect what is happening on the inside of us, which will hinder us from doing what God's called us to do and reaching where God's called us to reach. Are you with me this morning for this first 8:30 a.m. Easter service that you thought was going to be pretty and all these violets and here's the flowers? Because the celebration of what we've come today has to be more than a historical event. Because it so supersedes or so exceeds the event of the history of our past that it's more than just coming to say, praise God that Jesus went to the cross for me, took my sins, died on the third day, rose again. Yeah, I've been in Sunday school. I understand it. I got it. And yes, we can think we can got it and walk through the journeys of life, missing all that God has for us. Because it exceeds the moment of what happened 2,000 years ago. Come on. It so far outreaches our understanding that it affects us even today. Well, I understand, preacher. It's all about, you know, because of what Jesus did, I can go to heaven. Yeah, that's part of it. Look to your neighbor and say, that's part of it. Come on, talk to me, church. Say, that's part of it. Some of you didn't drink your coffee this morning. That's okay. We got to work you. But what we don't know, we can miss out on, because God says my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. I think that comes in two sides. One that can be from the side of, if you don't know who's against you, then you can get hindered and hurt. But I also believe that if you don't know what's for you, you can miss out because you don't reach out. And God, through his wisdom and through the understanding that so exceeds our understanding, God did an event called the crucifixion, the death, the burial, the resurrection of his son, who was the spotless lamb, the perfect sacrifice to take the sin, to take the sickness, to take the suffering, the pain of humanity upon himself, and to pay that price on the cross. But it did not stop there. Say, so it did not stop there. Thank you, Steve. Because we know on the third day, he rose again. All other religions can have they can talk about their deity. All other religions can talk about the savior of their religion. But we are the only ones that has a savior who not only died, but rose again. But it did not stop there. It did not stop just with his resurrection. That is the completeness of the package that opens up to us something that so is beyond our understanding that many of us, even though we love God, even though we're sincere and live for God, even though we're going to heaven to spend eternity with God, we can walk away from the table scratching our head saying, God, is that really possible for my life? The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. He endured the cross, Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He endured. The cross was not an easy journey for Jesus. If we're not careful, we can make it look like a fairy tale story and talk about the, oh, well, he was also the Son of God and he was perfect. And so it wasn't a struggle. No, it was a struggle. I don't care who you are. I don't care how good you think you are. Someone starts beating you with a whip, you're going to feel it. Someone starts pulling out your beard and knocking you around, you're going to feel it. Someone put a nail through your hand, the palm of your hand through your feet on a cross, you're going to feel it. He endured. Say, he endured. He was not only our substitution, to talk for a quick second, for those who like the theological side of study, he was not only our substitution, which means he took our place, he was our example. Not that we would have to go to the cross, but so that we understand that when we endure things in life, that it is not the end. The problem is not the end.
Right.
I heard a preacher say once, when you're going through hell, don't stop. Yeah. It is not the end. You can endure. There is something greater on the other side of the impossible situation, the dark moment, the hindrances, the challenges, the people talking about you, the world going crazy, people striking out against each other. There is something beyond the impossible. There is something beyond what appears to be the end. Oh, my life is over. It is not over. Looking into Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Who for the joy? He endured because he knew there's a joy. Our biggest challenge in life is when we deal with problems, all we see is the problem. Our problem with life is that when we face the heartache, all we can feel and see is the heartache. But if you want to endure the challenges of life, because challenges comes to us all, Jesus said, in this life, you will have trials and tribulations. But be of good cheer, I've overcome.
Amen.
Be of good cheer, I've overcome. If you want to push through to the place of victory, or allow your life story to be a person who almost was, they almost were healed. They were almost successful. They almost made it. Or you can be a testimony of the goodness of God and the greatness of God of someone who maybe did not have perfect background, a perfect situation, maybe an impossible situation, but you made it to your destination, that not only inspires those that watch you, but gives glory to your Lord and Savior. If you want to be that, we have to find the joy that enables us to endure what seems to be an impossible situation. For Jesus himself, in the context of this passage, it said, look at this situation. None of us have endured at the place that Jesus did, for it wasn't even talking about the cross at that time. It was talking about the moment when he was in the garden and he was praying, Father, if there's any other way. Have you ever prayed, God, just take this away so I never have to deal with it? If we had our way and we had all our prayers answered, most of us would live on a perpetual vacation of utopia with no challenges or hindrance. But what you have to understand, though, God didn't create the problem. He is the solution to the problem. And what the enemy meant for evil, God can turn it for good. And Jesus prayed, the Bible tells us, Father, if there's any other way, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And the Bible says that he sweat, or he began to allow, great drops of blood came through his pores. I cannot in my mind imagine the intensity that I would have to face that would allow blood to break through and begin to pour down my face. That's a level of enduring that I do not understand. But the resurrection is more than a historical event. It far exceeds this event in history. For in Romans 6:4, because it doesn't stop with Jesus. We know it encompasses our salvation, but I want to draw attention to another passage here. Romans chapter 6, verse 4 says, Just as Christ was raised from the dead, notice this, through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life.
Yes. Thank you.
We too may live a new life. Just as Christ was raised from the dead. Well, how was he raised from the dead? Through the glory, or through the power, through the splendor of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit. we too may live. Say, I too. This is just, I'm here to tell you that this just not, or this is not limited to your life when you get to heaven. This affects the life that you have here on earth.
Amen.
You too may live. You too may live.
Hallelujah.
You too may live.
Hallelujah.
You too may live. Did you hear me? You too may live.
Yeah.
Come on, I'm going to work you. You too may live a new life. That life is not your old life that's all jacked up that just got a little better.
Come on.
It's had a new life. It's actually the Zoe, the God kind of life. Don't worry about him. He's excited. We can all be excited, can we not? Because there's a life that we have available to us that's greater than the life that we came out of. Because what I'm here to tell you about, that a key part of this resurrection story is just not about what happened to Jesus, but what is happening to us. That you do not have to live the life that you used to live. You don't have to be a little improved, self-improved, little better than the jacked up person. You don't. It's not a matter of, I used to lie, now I just lie ever so often. I used to be in porn, and now I just watch every 3 months. No. That's trying to be better. Come on, somebody. You got to get real with, when we're talking about death and resurrection, we're not talking about you being just a little better. And what has happened in the church world today is that we have pendulum swing to the opposite of reality. That we have moved church to be no more than a self-help class that has taken good truths but stripped God out of it. And we walk away feeling good about ourselves because we have a little better tool to make our marriage a little better, to make our lives a little happier, to make our bodies a little healthier, to make our finances a little more successful, to make our careers a little more prosperous. And we walk away and think that's all the entirety of what God has for us. That, oh, I've gone to church and learned how to be better. But this is not what it's about. Does God want you to be better? Yes, God wants you to be better. But God wants something even greater than an improvement of who you were. God wants you to be new. Because in the world system, we'll counsel, we'll advise, and there's nothing wrong with that to a certain extent. But if all that is, they'll mark you with who you've always been, and now you're trying to be better. If God bless all the ones who've had to go through Alcoholics Anonymous. But one thing, they'll walk away leaving saying, I'm always an alcoholic. I've been dry for so many days. I haven't had a drink, but I'm an alcoholic. Hello, my name is so-and-so, and I'm an alcoholic. And eternally marks themselves because that's the best that the world can do. That's the best you can do. You can't change yourself. All you can do is try to improve yourself. And if that's what churches happen to become, we are no different than the New Age or the self-help or the instructional classes of the world system. But I'm here to tell you that there is something greater than just you being better than the person you used to be. You don't have to be an anger management reject that's trying to get things right. You don't have to be a person that's broken, busted, and disgusted trying to live a little better than the generation behind you. The Bible says, behold, he makes all things new. What am I telling you today? That there is resurrection life available to you that not only saves you for eternity, but changes you for this. That resurrection power raised Jesus from the dead. He got up. Someone say he got up.
Yeah.
Say he got up.
Yeah.
What you have to understand is on the cross he became the curse. For the Bible says as cursed is everyone that hangs on the tree. What you have to understand is that he as a substitute took upon himself all that the devil from the curse tried to put upon us. So that means he took sickness upon himself. He took sin upon himself. He took torment upon himself. You have to understand, not only spiritually, but also practically, that even the thorns that were crushed onto his forehead released a toxin that the enemy would try to bring oppression and depression. He took depression upon himself. He took confusion and oppression. He took demonic activity upon himself. Why? Because he was breaking their hold. He took sickness and death and anything that the enemy would throw at you, he put upon himself. So when he got up out of that death, when he got up out of that grave, when he got up out of that sickness, when he got up out of that torment, when he got up out of that abuse, when he got up out of that rejection, when he got up out of that disappointment, when he got up out of the worst storm of life, when he got up, so can you. So can you. Did you hear me? But you don't know what I went through. He took it all upon himself. And by the power of God, you can't counsel this. You can't advise this. This is not a 10-step of self-improvement. This is where the rubber meets the road, baby. That it's more than just what you can do. You move beyond to what Almighty God can do. And so can you. There is a new life available to you. So can you. Look to three people and tell them, so can you. So can you. Yeah, but I've been dealing with depression for 18. So you can get up out of that. Oh, I deal with oppression. All the, you can get up out of that. The doctor said there's, but you can get up out of that. Whew. Oh, every relationship I've ever seen or known is all busted. No, you can get up out of that. You can get up out of that. Did you hear me? You can break the cycle. You can be the first of a generation that does not experience what the past generations of your family tree did. So I can get up. The Bible says that Jesus was raised from the dead. He got up out of that. And we can, because of that, notice that again, Romans 6:4. Just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Like I told a few weeks ago in reference last week, how my father grew up in an environment that was not conducive, was not supportive, was not encouraging. Exposed to stuff that most people should never be exposed to. As a little boy, his father, his uncles, his cousins, all alcoholics. Used to put a little whiskey in his sippy cup as a toddler to watch him fall down. In an abusive environment that beat him. A grandma that was a witch. A father who would come home after working all week and had take his paycheck and go to the bar and buy everybody drinks and come home drunk and fight with his wife. No education. All the things that could go wrong seemed to go wrong. But at the age of 17, he met Jesus. Yeah. Behold, he makes all things new. There is nothing too hard for God. If you get anything from this today, I want you to know there is nothing too hard. God knows where you're at, what you're dealing with, what you're feeling. And I'm here to tell you that at the age of 17, when he met Jesus, he decided and experienced the reality of God's power. And he made a decision that he would not repeat, but he was going to start a brand new cycle, a brand new path. And us as his children, we never experienced the stuff that he went through. Put himself through school. Educated, went into the ministry full time, and was a pastor for 40 years. 40 years, 38 in one place. Why? Because God can do the impossible. I say God can do the impossible. If you're taking notes, let me give you three things that allow us to experience that. I'm not going to leave you today with the excitement of the hope of possibility what God can do without having given you a path to make that connection by faith. Number one, Ephesians 1:19. Ephesians 1:19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power? Notice, what is the exceeding greatness? Let's break this down slowly for a second. What is the exceeding greatness? That means his power is not only great, it's exceedingly great. Yeah. It's just not little power. Your God is an almighty, all-powerful God. Did you hear me? With God, nothing is impossible. So when the devil says that's impossible, that's the church world, that's not the real world. I'm here to tell you that you've listened too much to the wrong story, that the world of God is greater than the world of what you call is real, and God has a way of taking the things that do not appear and changing and bring to naught, the Bible tells me, which means bring to insignificance the things that you thought were permanent. Come on, somebody. Because there's one thing that I know, that the things that we live in today are temporary, subject to change, but the things of God are eternal. They will not change. Unless you believe it's permanent, and then according to your faith. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward? That means to you and I. Who believe? Say, who believe?
Believe.
What am I telling you? If you don't believe God can, God can't.
Right, right.
According to your faith. If you don't believe God can, then he can't.
Right.
If you believe you're stuck, you are. If you believe there's no hope, then there's no hope. Because we receive and inherit the promises of God through faith and patience. The Bible tells me faith is a substance of things hoped for. That means if you can't believe it, you will not have it from God.
Right.
Why do some people see miracles and some don't? Not because God is a respecter of persons, because he's not. Not because God loves one more than the other. No, he doesn't. God loves us all.
Yes.
It's because someone chose to believe.
Hello.
Can you dare believe your day can be better than yesterday? Yes. Can you dare believe that you can break the cycle that is of abuse or messed up drugs or addiction or pornography or just whatever it might be that's trying to haunt your generation? Can you dare believe that your children and your children's children can walk up and wake up to a world that's totally different than what you've been exposed to? The question is not, can God? The question is, can you believe? Toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. What is all context? The resurrection of Jesus. Can you believe? Number two, Galatians 6:14. But far be it from me to glory in anything or anyone except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, through whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Now, what I want to draw attention to here is the level of influence and importance that Paul puts on the cross. Help us define what that cross is. The cross is not you being crucified like Jesus was crucified. Your cross, and Jesus said one day that we are to pick up our cross and follow him.
Yes.
What is that cross for you and I? That cross is the cross of obedience.
Yeah.
Stick with me. When you get to the place of, God, I really want to do this, but I know you're telling me to do that.
Yeah.
This is not about you following some other man's rules. See, that's what I called religion. If you're a guest, I'm not into religion. I don't believe in religion. I define religion as man's rules for you to get to God. It's a controlling factor. It's a controlling system. You don't get closer to God by following the rules. You just get closer to them. And if that's all you want in the journey of your life, God help you and God bless you and go at it. But there's something greater than any man or woman of God that's walking on this earth today, and that's Jesus Christ. And the goal is to get you to Jesus. The cross is our obedience to the Father. Jesus went to hell out of obedience to the Father to pay the price. He went to the cross out of obedience to the Father. He took our place so we wouldn't have to do that. That price has now been paid.
Amen.
But the cross is also something else. The cross is the end of ourselves. Listen to me for the next few minutes. The cross is the end of ourselves. Just not saying, God, I'm going to do it your way, but coming to the place and the reality of who you are, that it's no longer you. This is where a lot of us struggle, because we'll pray and say, I believe God can do it, and then we go out and try to do it. Thank you. This is where we come to the end, because to come to the cross, we must bow our knee and say, Lord, I can't do this. Do you know how hard it is? Especially, let me just talk to the guys, because we can relate. It's so hard, especially for men, to ever come to the place of saying, I can't do this. Ladies, you want to know why we don't stop to ask for directions? Because somehow in our mind, we really still believe that we can do it. We are so lost. We are three states over, and we are 2 hours late, and we're never going to make the event, but we refuse. Why? Because somewhere in our mind, we believe we still got it covered. We can handle this. That is a strength that God's given us so we can stand strong in the household and direct the will of God and word of God in our home and in our destiny. But something, and also that which is a strength, can become a weakness to us, because we have to come to the place of reality of, God, I cannot do this. I don't have this. I can't handle this. That is hard for us to say. That's hard for us to do. But if you want the resurrection power of God, you must come to the death of yourself. You must come to the end of, God, I cannot make this happen. I don't know what you're trying to make happen. I don't know what you're trying to endure through. I don't know what you're trying to achieve. But there will come a place that if you expect and need God's power to bring resurrection power and life to allow you to do it, you have to come to the place that it's no longer you. Because, listen, why? Because the moment that you keep thinking you can do it and it's just you're doing it and God's helping you, when you get there, you'll walk away saying, look what I've done. But you have to come to a place within yourself and say, God, you know it. You've always known it. I'm beginning to learn it. I can't do this. So Paul said, it's no longer I that lives, but Christ lives with me. It lives in me. And the life that I live by faith in the Son of God. Are you with me today? What is he saying? That the life that I'm living is of such nature and such power and such potential that I know it is not me. It is not mine. It is not what I can do, but it's what I've allowed myself to come to the foot of the cross and say, God, I need your help. I cannot do this. When you come to the place of saying, God, I cannot break this addiction. I've read every book. I've tried every tactic. I've talked to every person I can talk to. But Lord, I keep falling back into that same problem, into that same ditch. You're not in a bad place. You might be in the best place you've ever thought of because you're coming to the foot of the cross, the end of yourself, and you're reaching out to God and say, God, I know you have more. I can't get it. I can't do it. I can't make it. God, I've come to the end of myself and there's no way for me to reach what you've called me to reach. And so I'm bowing my knee and saying, I have nothing to offer. I have nothing to give. I can no longer fool myself and those around me. I lay my life down, God. I have nothing to bargain with. See, the real deal is that you can't make a deal with God. And you have to get real with yourself. And it's a place of vulnerability that none of us want to be in.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
To lay it all down. God, I'm laying my marriage down. I'm laying my health down. I'm laying my finances down. I'm laying these addictions down at the cross of Calvary. God, I cannot do what you want me to do. I've come to the end of myself and I'm laying it down. I have nothing to bargain with. I have nothing to offer. I'm giving you all the scraps of my broken life and I lay it down. Will you accept this offering? Because what we have to realize, you can go back to the beginning, and in the Old Testament, have you ever noticed that they would offer sacrifices? And some would be accepted and some would be rejected. Cain and Abel. One was offering was accepted. One was rejected. How did they know? Let me tell you how they knew. Because in the Old Testament, which was a shadow of the things that come in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, when they would lay a blood sacrifice offering or an offering before God, if it was accepted by God, fire from heaven, from the throne of God, would come down and consume it. And they knew it was acceptable. It begins, when all this stuff clicks, it begins to make sense why the prophet, when he was facing the prophets of Baal, said, let's see which God answers by fire. He was setting them up.
Yeah.
Did you hear me? He was setting them up.
Yeah.
And he let them do their sacrifices, and they prayed, and nothing happened, and he taught to them. Then he said, take the sacrifice that I'm offering to God and pour water on it. Why? Because he knew God was greater than the water that would try to water it down. And when he offered the sacrifice before God, it caught on fire. Why? Because it was acceptable to God. It came down and consumed. That was something that happened in the natural that was symbolic of what God was going to do in the New Testament. What am I telling you? That if you want to experience the true power of God, again, I go back to this. This has to be more than just ideas of self-improvement and self-help. It's coming to the reality of yourself that, God, I cannot do this. I am bowing my knee to you. I have nothing to offer. I have nothing to give. But I lay it all before you. And Lord, you say you love me. And I don't feel anything emotionally. But God, I feel busted and disgusted, disappointed and hurt and crying. But Lord, I lay what I have before you. And I ask you to consume it by the fire. Let it be acceptable. Let it be acceptable. Because it's no longer I that lives, but Jesus that lives in me. Lord, let it be acceptable. Lord, I give it to you. And when you begin to cry out before God and say, here's what it is. Most of us cry out to God about our need. We cry out to God about our hurt. We cry out to God about the stuff we don't like instead of crying out to God and saying, here I am. Search my heart. Search me. It brings you to a place of vulnerability. It brings you to a place of insecurity because you lose the right of being in control and you lay it all down at the feet of Jesus. But I'm here to tell you, when a sacrifice has been offered to God, it's acceptable. Fire from God The power of the Holy Ghost. For Acts 2 tells me that when they were all together in one accord in one place, that all of a sudden fire from heaven came down and consumed them. What am I telling you? God's fire, God's power comes down and touches you in a way that exceeds your understanding, that moves beyond your ability, and God will resurrect a new life in your life that you could never do on your own. Someone give God a praise. I'm telling you, this is real deal. I'm giving you everything I got. I'm not pacing this for three services. I got two more to do after this, but I'm giving you everything this first service. We have to not only believe, we have to come to the cross. Romans 8:11 says, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his spirit. This is God doing something. We have to learn to stay in the center of God's truth. No pendulum swings. One pendulum swing is you do it all, and we take God out of it. One pendulum swing is God does everything and I don't do anything. Faith without works is dead. You have to do something. But there's also in the balance of your efforts the understanding that it's no longer I, that the place that God wants to take me and take you and I, that the life that God wants to give us, that new life is only coming not only out of our obedience but also by his power. And when the devil tells you it's impossible, you can't do it. The reason it feels impossible to us is because our mind quickly goes to the place of trying to figure out how. And we cannot make it. We cannot understand it. We cannot process how. But when you don't know the how, you know the who. And you keep believing. You keep offering before God. And I'm telling you that God's power can deliver an addict. God's power can restore a broken marriage. God's power can heal a sick body. God's power. Why? Because Jesus went to the cross. He got up. You can too. You have a greater life ahead of you. Can someone get a praise? I want to end this thing. The real deal. Come on, this is a real deal. He came to the cross. He died to his will. He offered the sacrifice. It was acceptable by God. And the same resurrection power that raised Jesus can raise your life, making you brand new. Did you hear me? I'm talking about that no longer it's a matter of I don't do it, but I sure won't still want to. It's a lie of the devil. Well, I don't do drugs anymore, but man, I sure crave them. That's a lie of the devil. See, that's improvement of who you were. We're not looking for improvement. We're looking for an absolute change. Wouldn't it be nice to go to those people that always just ticked you off and then you run into them and you don't feel anything? Wouldn't it be nice to all of a sudden someone references a situation or you get exposed to something you were addicted to and you're like, no, I'm not interested. No interest. Yeah. All things new. Amen. All things new. Yeah. All things new. Hallelujah. All things new. Amen. All things new. Amen. All things new. Hallelujah. All things new. Happy Resurrection Day. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise.